Name is Jack Campbell, and you are listening to Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell live Thursdays at 10 a.m. And we are broadcasting live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam First Nations Indigenous people. And I am very grateful to be playing this marvelous music for you all today. For those of you who are just joining the broadcast and perhaps aren't familiar with what Breaking Barriers is about, this program is dedicated to exploring contemporary classical music of the 20th century, and perhaps music from other genres that in some way is related to contemporary classical music, and exploring it from a variety of perspectives, compositional perspectives, performative perspectives, perspectives of the current trends in music from that time, and also the trends in the world, and how it is reflected within such compositions. Today's episode is a thematic one in that we are dealing with the music of the marvelous, marvelous French composer, conductor, pianist, thinker, author, theorist, Pierre Boulez, one of the great musical titans of the 20th century. So today, what I would like to begin with is I'd like to play for you. I'm a violinist myself, so sometimes I get mixed up there. Pierre Boulez's first piano sonata, which is from 1946. This particular performance being by Idil Biret. I'm not going to say anything about the music yet. I'd just like you to listen to it because I can imagine that for some of you, perhaps this is one of your first times hearing one of Pierre Boulez's compositions. And the music speaks for itself. And then we will get right in to discussion. So once again, this is Pierre Boulez's first piano sonata performed by Idil Biret, and this piece is from 1946. Thank you. So you were just listening to Pierre Boulez's first piano sonata. Now, Boulez wrote three piano sonatas, and I'll be returning to them periodically throughout the episode. Now, that gives you an interesting flavor of Boulez's work, and this is still relatively early Boulez, this piece being from 1946. So let's begin with Boulez's early life. He came from a relatively well-to-do family, and he showed an interest in all the classical arts from an early age, particularly music, and he was a very, very talented young musician. Boulez always had a desire to write music, and some of his younger student compositions are based on texts by various noted authors and poets, and are written in a more tonal style. He became very, very interested in the music of Arnold Schoenberg in the Second Viennese School as a student, and atonality in 12-tone music and serial music. He did studies with René Leibowitz, who was a Parisian composer that was quite an important pedagogue. That's Morton Feldman speaking. He said that Leibowitz now remembered more as a pedagogue than as a composer, and that resembles other sort of North American composers, like names come to mind such as Walter Piston or Vincent Persichetti. People who were very instrumental in composing at the time and are now mainly remembered for who their students were. Boulez later fell out with Leibowitz, and he also had experiences in the composition and harmony and counterpoint classes of the noted French composer Oliver Messiaen. Now, Messiaen himself is noted as being a very important composer of the period, quite unlike anybody else writing music at the time, one of the first people to explore birdsong. He had what was called his seven modes of music, which were scales that he used in his compositional practice to sort of determine the harmonies in which to play. Now, one of the things that I find very interesting about this relationship is there couldn't be more of a difference between the two men's music. Let's take a slight moment here to listen to a bit of my favorite piece of Messiaen's, actually, the Turngalia Symphony, which was an enormous piece for massive orchestra plus piano soloist and Hans Martineau, an electronic instrument of whose mastery was Messiaen's wife. She was the dominant Hans Martineau player in history. So here's a little bit of Simon Rattle conducting the London Symphony Orchestra performing Oliver Messiaen's Turngalia Symphony. Keep in mind, this was Boulez's teacher. So as you can hear, it's a very varied, lush, beautiful, frightening sometimes, and on occasion joyful type of writing. But you can hear the innate complexity in that music of Messiaen's, which later transitions into Boulez, and also the specificity of every single note. Now, this specificity is also very obvious in the music of his other prominent teacher, René Leibowitz. Here's a bit of Leibowitz's Clavier Trio, Opus 20. Such musics give you a sense of what was the style of Boulez's teachers. And I think in the Leibowitz, maybe aesthetically and sonically, we can hear more of a direct connection. For indeed, Leibowitz was fascinated with the 12-tone method of composing, such as Boulez was. Now, perhaps the most obvious exponent of this school of writing music is Schoenberg, for he kind of invented it. Since we heard at the beginning of this broadcast the Pierre Boulez's first piano sonata, to give you a flavor of where this comes from, we're going to listen to the entirety of Arnold Schoenberg's Six Klein Klavierstücke, Opus 19, and this is the second movement, which is only 52 seconds long. Now, I truly love that little piece. I just think it's such a brilliant exercise and so not what we usually associate with the 12-tone Second Viennese School. Now, Schoenberg's practice, although you can hear in there that that is very much indeed atonal music, it still has a sense of accessibility sonically. It's not, although you can imagine at the time that that was written in the early 1900s, people would have thought, what on earth is this? It's, you know, you can still grasp it, and the rhythmic elements of it are quite profound and identifiable, and it definitely makes your, really has your interest in its hands. Now, Schoenberg had two students, Anton Webern and Alban Berg, and they sort of comprised the Second Viennese School together, and they all very much had their own way of thinking about the 12-tone method. Now, for those of you who don't know, it's a method of composing music in which all 12 pitches appear in what are called tone rows. Now, there's a misconception that originally this meant that every pitch had to appear before a pitch could be repeated. This is not true. The order in which the pitches are constructed in the row just have to be obvious. Other composers took it to an extreme where you couldn't use one pitch until you'd used another. Now, Berg, his student, was very, and this is also a composer that Boulez admired, was very interesting in that he found ways within the 12 pitches to construct chords and harmonies and such. So here's an example of the very beginning of his beautiful violin concerto. This violinist is Itzhak Perlman, and here you hear it with the Boston Symphony. And you can hear that he's used rather commonplace harmonic patterns amongst this 12-tone school of writing. I'm going to let this play for about a minute or so, and you can sort of hear this other approach, whereas Schoenberg's was very dependent on intervallic harmonies. Here, Berg is using standard chords. So you're listening to Itzhak Perlman perform Alban Berg's Violin Concerto with the Boston Symphony. And compared to the Schoenberg, you can probably hear the more harmonically familiar way of writing. Now, Boulez, who this episode is about, if you're just joining in, was immersed in the Second Viennese School. He found it absolutely fascinating, as do I. But, and like many of his contemporaries, among them people like John Cage, who actually studied with Schoenberg, and other future composers like, for example, Stockhausen, or even toward the end of his life, Stravinsky of all people, Boulez was particularly fascinated by the music of Anton Webern. Like the Boulez First Piano Sonata, which you will hear similarities to in this music, I think it's best to let this music speak for itself. So I'm going to give you a few minutes of it. Here's Anton Webern's Variations, Opus 27 from 1936, performed by the brilliant Canadian pianist Glenn Gould. Thank you. That was Glenn Gould performing Anton Webern's Variations, Opus 27 from 1936. Webern had a tremendous influence on Boulez's compositional style, as did all of the Second Viennese School. I'm now going to play for you. I'm a violinist, I do that sometimes. I'm going to play for you Pierre Boulez's Sonatine for Flute and Piano, which was the first work he allowed to be published as a professional composer. Now, this piece does quote rather extensively from Schoenberg's First Chamber Symphony, which is in itself a marvelous work. And you can hear the influence of Schoenberg in the way the music has its form and structure, but also the nature of the spontaneity and the articulation and the drive and momentum and ambiguity and pointillistic nature of Webern's music in this sonatine. And also keep in mind, if you were here for the beginning of this broadcast, this is the piece that he wrote before the first piano sonata. Here's Pierre Boulez's Sonatine for Flute and Piano, performed by the wonderful Ensemble Intercontemporain at the Philharmonie Hall in Paris. Thank you. So you're currently listening to Pierre Boulez's Sonatine for violin and piano, and what a work it is. That is the piece that came before his first piano sonata, which we heard at the beginning of the broadcast. And if you're just tuning in, my name is Jack Campbell, and you're listening to CITR 101.9 FM radio, which broadcasts live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous peoples. And here on Breaking Barriers, we are exploring Pierre Boulez, the great figure of the 20th century. Now we're going to move to his piano sonata number 2 from 1947 to 1948. This is serialism at its apex in terms of rhythm, articulations, pitch patterns. This is sometimes considered one of the hardest pieces to perform on the keyboard. When Aaron Copland heard this, he replied, "Must we revolutionize music all over again?" To which Boulez replied, "Yes, mercilessly." Here it is. Sorry, that was the sonatine again. Here we are. Once again, Pierre Boulez's second piano sonata. Thank you. So you're listening to Pierre Boulez's second piano sonata. And this is sometimes considered one of the hardest works, if not the hardest, written for piano. Now, this is when Boulez was starting to experiment with really hyper-surrealism. Now, he eventually went even a step further when he wrote Structures, Book 1, for two pianos. Now, this is a Boulez quote. Boulez described the piece as in which the responsibility of the composer is practically absent. Had computers existed at that time, I would have put the data through them and made the piece that way. But I did it by hand. It was a demonstration through the absurd. Asked whether it should still be listened to his music, Boulez replied, I am not terribly eager to listen to it. But for me, it was an experiment that was absolutely necessary. Here's a bit of Pierre Boulez's Structures. You can hear from the nature of this work how very carefully constructed and precise and almost robotic and computerized this music is. We're now going to take a quick break for some ads, and then I will be right back with more music for you.
Do you love to read, but your friends and family are tired of you droning on and on about your latest book? Well, forget them, because you have me now. Hi, I'm Randy from Dog-Eared Radio Book Club, a book club coming to you through the airwaves from 6 p.m. to 7:30 p.m. every 2 weeks on Tuesday evenings on CITR 101.9 FM. Tune in to hear the rambling thoughts of a fellow reader that are factually supported by my co-host of the week. Follow the show on Instagram at Dog-Eared Radio Book Club to find out about our next read.
August is Black Philanthropy Month. We're calling all active citizens to join in on this global Black Philanthropy Initiative. This special fundraising effort assists the United Nations Sustainable Development Goals for Black-serving nonprofit organizations. Tackle issues close to home, from poverty to quality education, gender equality to economic growth. Individuals and businesses can participate in this fundraiser, internationally administered by Support Black Charities. Visit global-bpi.org to learn more and spread the message. Donate today at global-bpi.org.
September 16th at the Hollywood Theater, it's US Girls.
US Girls!
Your one chance to see them live in Vancouver. With special guest, Dorothea Paz. General admission tickets are available now. Doors 6:30, 7:30 showtime, baby.
In October of 2022, the Vancouver Adapted Music Society held its flagship event, the Strong Sessions, for the fifth time. All Strong Sessions feature a variety of musicians with disabilities, paired with established local artists and bands. Each month until September this year, VAMS will be releasing the performances from our 2022 show on the Reimagine Radio YouTube channel, where you can also find past Strong Sessions content. To stay up to date with us, subscribe to the channel and drop a like to show some support.
And with that, welcome back to Breaking Barriers on CITR 101.9 FM radio, live Thursdays at 10 a.m. with your host, Jack Campbell. That's me. Hello, how are you doing? Today's episode is around Pierre Boulez, and I'm broadcasting to you live from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. Now, Boulez is such a fascinating figure and so vast. Today we kind of covered his education and some of his inspirations, and we've listened to a great deal of his piano music from across his output. Next week, we'll be focusing more on his large ensemble compositions, as well as his career as a conductor and a thinker. So please tune in next week for part two. But his work as a musical thinker was very much a part of his compositional practice, as we've discussed so far in this episode, and was sometimes controversial. One of the things that's interesting about Boulez is he's one of the composers that has generated the most controversy and positive and equally negative attention at times. This is now his third and final piano sonata, and we've talked about the first and the second throughout this episode. Now, this piece was unconventionally notated and written in a serialist technique, and you know, he himself was never truly satisfied with this work, and this is one of the most controversial works around. Some people absolutely love it, some people despise it, a lot of people enjoy it but criticize it. It's a very unique piece, and you'll hear in this recording of it how it differs from his other works. Take a listen. This is his third piano sonata. So this is giving you a flavor of Pierre Boulez's third piano sonata. Now, like this piece, Boulez was never quite satisfied with the next piece I'm going to play. When the next piece shows Boulez not just as a composer for the piano like we've explored so far. In fact, Boulez worked and reworking and reworking and reworking this piece for about 60 years. This is his only string quartet, and some people still say it's not necessarily complete. It's not his best work. When he originally wrote it, he really didn't understand string instruments very well. It's called the Livre por Quattro, and I mean, it officially says it was written from 1948 to 1962. He was always reworking this piece. It's a very, very unique composition. I find there are moments of the most unbelievable beauty within it. I'll play it for you, and I'm interested to know what you think. This is being performed by the Parisi Quartet. And keep in mind, he also later orchestrated it for string orchestra, which I think provides interesting depth into the work. Have a listen.
Thank you.
So you're listening to Pierre Boulez's Only String Quartet. Now, one of the interesting things from around this time period is that Boulez befriended the American iconoclast composer John Cage. Now, obviously, their music is quite different from one another. But this friendship, well, it was almost a romantic one. These two men were the main figures in the musical avant-garde at the time, and their friendship and eventual falling out is the stuff of legend. For a taste of how different their music was, yet in some ways so similar in timbre and texture and their love of Webern, here is John Cage's Concerto for Prepared Piano and Chamber Orchestra, just a little snippet. So this is Pierre Boulez's dear friend and musical brother, and in some ways, almost, they had a slight romance going on, John Cage and his Concerto for Prepared Piano and Orchestra. Now, I'm going to leave this episode, and we've only focused on a relatively small portion of Boulez's output in this episode. Next week, we'll focus more on his work as a conductor as well as his large ensemble pieces. But the reason I played you this Cage is I wanted to leave you with some Boulez from the 50s. He began to sort of liberate himself slightly from serialism, and his composition, some say, really, really took off and improved. So the most significant piece from this area was Le Marteau sans maîtrise, which was described by multiple people as just being a critical piece in the 20th century. You know, there are letters from this period when Boulez wrote this piece to Cage, when he talked about enjoying this liberty and sort of freeing himself from his own constraints. And I think this piece is really marvelous and beautiful. Now, we only have 4 minutes left, and this is a 38 to 40 minute long work. So unfortunately, you'll just hear the beginning. But, you know, please take a moment to think about sort of the timbres and the textures and the colors of this music. I once had a teacher that described it as a porcelain sound, and I think that's very fitting. And there's immense complexity, and there's immense subtlety, and in some points it's very dramatic and brutal. But at the same time, there's something about it that's so strikingly gentle and a little bit of restraint in it, and it kind of is always begging a question and making you wonder why. So I leave you with this last work of Boulez. Please tune in next week for part two. We'll discuss his career as a conductor, as other aspects of his compositional practice, particularly his large ensemble works, and we'll actually listen to him talking a bit. You've heard me talk a fair bit this episode. So thank you so much for tuning in. I've really enjoyed this. I'll see you next week. Once again, my name's Jack Campbell. This is Breaking Barriers with Jack Campbell, live Thursdays, 10 a.m., CITR 101.9 FM, broadcasting from the traditional, unceded, and ancestral territory of the Musqueam Indigenous people. Next week, same station, same place, same guy, same topic, but a different angle on it. Enjoy this last piece of music. Have a wonderful rest of your day, and keep listening to weird music.